Carnac.com for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
Just minutes away, don't go far.
Michelle Theriault at the conclusion of the ARCA race at Lakeland's USA International Speedway. Michelle, you qualified awesome. What, seventh or eighth?
Eighth. Yeah.
And how do you feel about that qualifying run?
I'll tell you, our intentions really when we came here was to just make the race and just get some laps and get some seat time. And once we tested yesterday, we realized that, you know, we were in contention to probably win the race. So for me, that was a big confidence builder. And I think just going into today, I knew I had a good car. I knew I just had to run my line like I always do. And I ended up qualifying eighth, which was an added bonus. And then we just wanted to finish the race. And, you know, for the first 50 laps, we held our own right there in ninth place.
Right. So you were riding in ninth for 50 laps. And then what happened out in turn one and two?
Well, throughout the race, every now and then we get bobbled up with a few cars or whatnot passing through lap cars, and I believe there was maybe a lap car on the bottom, and a few people checked up, and of course I was at the end of that line, and I bumped the guy in front of me, and it busted a hole in the radiator, and after that we had lost all the water, and it just overheated the motor.
Yeah, so he ran for, what, 20 laps, and then had to bring it in?
Yeah, we tried to hold on. We were hoping that maybe the water pressure just, it wasn't reading right, but it stayed at 275, and there was no need to go out there and ruin the motor.
So what does this do for your confidence? I mean, there's teams here, you know, with some serious backing from NASCAR-type teams and stuff. And what's this do for your confidence going to the Busch East and for ARCA races later the year?
I'll tell you what, I mean, coming off of this race, I feel really confident this year. I've always been confident in myself, but when you have an up-and-down year, it's hard as a driver to keep yourself pumped up. And I think off the truck, from the moment we got here, we were good. The team was good. We work well together, and I just think we're going to take this confidence, even though it didn't end up a good night. We're all really proud of each other and just carry that on the rest of the year. And if we could keep that momentum, I think we're going to have a great year.
Yeah, and Glock's been obviously a big part of this.
Oh, Glock, I mean, every bigwig from Glock was here today to watch this, and they were thrilled. We only got 50 laps in, but I think they saw what this team was made of just from those 50 laps and watching today. So everyone's really excited, and I couldn't ask for a better day.
All right, we'll see you at Greenville Pickens.
Yep, Greenville, April 28th.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michelle.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at the Snook River Grill. It is a real race in USA Tuesday night. And I'm Bill Green.
I'm Rick Angie.
I'm Jack Smith, and I'm so damn happy to be here. I just don't know what to say.
Well, don't leave anything in the seat
happy.
We don't want to have to deal with, okay?
Damned happy.
Hey, you guys had a...
We have a hell of a show line.
Heck of a weekend.
See, I threw two of them in there once. I got you on the dam, and now I got the hell. I got all that out of
You're
the way.
You're all done.
I feel good
You're
now.
Done.
So we really do it. We have a lot of really cool people on here tonight with us.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. There was an awesome weekend of racing to beat.
Spectacular. We're not going to use the word awesome tonight because we overused it last week and the week before, so we're going to have to use the word spectacular.
Huge, jumbo.
Spectacular until we run
into badass.
In. There you
it
go.
It was badass.
There you go.
Monumental.
Monumental.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what?
That was your first time ever going to an ARCA race?
Yes. Yes,
won't
I was impressed.
Won't be his last.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
It was very impressive. Competition level was, it was unbelievable. You had Frank Kimmel, who we talked to earlier, you know, who's
right.
won the championship, I don't know how many times, what, eight times or something?
Eight times. Only person in the world to win
eight
motorsport, any kind of championship, eight times.
Eight championships.
And then you have, you know, you have Bobby Beathard, and you got all these really veteran race car drivers from ARCA racing against these young kids. Two of them were just barely 17. The other kid was ready to be 17. I mean, and their NASCAR development teams. I mean, unbelievable.
You mean racing at USA International and still be on your learner's permit?
with a million-dollar team behind you.
Well, I interviewed Bobby Santos before the race. He was the fast qualifier by damn near 0.3 over the rest of the field.
At USA International Speedway, that's like giving somebody like a free head start.
That's a free pit stop, easily, in a race that long. But that was what kind of car was it?
A Toyota.
There you go.
Bill Davis Racing.
So everybody's down in Toyota. They can't get their act together in nasty car, but here they are tearing up.
So tonight we're going to talk to the winner of the race, James Buescher. We're going to talk to the youngster who came in second, Brian Clausen. We're going to talk to Wayne Anderson.
Right?
There was no chorus of booze. Oh, that's a good thing.
Yes.
We're going to talk to Mario
Gosselin.
It's okay
to come in, Wayne.
Wayne said he'd come if we bought him a beer. He said he was pissed the last time he came. We didn't buy him a beer.
Yeah, we'll get into why he didn't come here tonight, but we will be talking to him anyway. In the house, we have Johnny Jackson, man.
Johnny Action Jackson.
I'm telling you. I'm
flashback.
So proud of this dude,
flashback.
Man. That was really cool. Coming in eighth in his ARCA race.
Well, I've never seen him wandering around the infield at Lakeland, and I'm taking pictures and, watching them tow cars in and watching them do pit stops and stuff. So I just wandered down. My favorite place down there is 1 and 2 at Lakeland, when you're in the pits. So I wandered down, and as I'm wandering down, I look up at the scoreboard, and what do I see? The 72 leading.
Unbelievable, huh?
It was fantastic.
Oh, was everybody else on a pit stop or something?
Well, they took a pit. It was a pit stop cycle, but he didn't back down. I mean, he was up there for a few laps. He'll tell us all about it. He'll tell us all about it.
Who else we got in the house, Jack?
Well, we got the lady herself.
Oh, my God.
The queen of the message board.
Is that what it is?
Well,
it's
got to be, because ain't nobody else going to claim it.
We should bring her up here.
Hey, Miss Carol Wicks, could you come up here for a second?
That's right.
You do know how to use a microphone, right, Carol?
No.
Yeah, right. I've seen you.
No.
I've seen you.
So now people can actually put
Rick,
a voice to,
you have to
the
be
typing. That's kind of cool.
You have to be gentle, Rick. You have to be gentle.
Right, right.
Okay,
yeah, it's a long reach, Carol.
Hold that microphone up there real close.
Welcome, Carol.
How many years have we known each other?
About 10, I think.
About 10 years.
It's been a long 10 years.
It's been a long road, hasn't it?
It's some peaks and valleys in that sucker.
Yep.
Welcome, Carol, first off. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for inviting me.
We know you enjoy this racing.
I just want to clarify one thing. Was I right? This is a really nice restaurant, isn't it? The Snook River Grill?
Very nice.
Very nice place.
It's not what I expected.
Exactly. See, them people thought that we were doing this in some hole-in-the-wall bar, You know what I mean?
Well, them people don't know what they're doing.
There you go.
No, this is very nice, and I would recommend bringing children.
That's okay if you can keep Jack away from some of the four-letter words.
Until Rick gets drunk or something.
Until I get drunk. I don't drink no more.
Keep Jack away from the four-letter expletives.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, listen, you promote racing just about anywhere and everywhere. I mean, no matter who's talking on the message board or what track you're going to, you enjoy what racing you go see. And you have some favorite drivers out there that you go see.
All of them.
Starting with Mr. T.S. at the top of your list.
Mr. T.S.
20.
Oh, we're talking NASCAR.
She almost fell out of her chair.
No, that was just saying at the top of your list. And then you go down to the local track.
Jack doesn't like
we don't
nasty
talk
car.
Nasty car on this show.
Well, then don't talk Tony Stewart.
There you go.
There you go.
He's a sprint car driver.
Oh, okay.
That's right. He's been
he's
to East
every
Bay.
Every car driver.
We can get away with him. We'll sneak him in the back door. Anyway, but it's really, I think it's pretty awesome because you've always been, what I've seen of all your stuff you've put out on the message board and talked to me and stuff, you've been very open-minded about people's opinions of things and how they've done. You've told them your opinion of things, and it's awesome. It works out.
Times.
And a lot of people, yeah, a few times. And a lot of people,
spectacular, Bill.
Yeah, I know.
Spectacular.
Awesome. Sometimes he gets really good and zings them pretty good, but... and it's just pretty cool that you enjoy this so much, racing in general, and being a fan of racing, because you're not involved normally in any other aspect. You're not a car owner or anything else.
Only it's on really the highway.
Cool. That's right.
Carol,
but
tell him to be cool. Tell
him
to be quiet and let you talk for a minute.
Oh, well, I want you to tell us
real quick
how you got to where you are.
If you'd like to give us a call, our phone number is 941-748-3490.
That's right. Bill, you can talk to Carol.
Bill will answer the phone.
So how did you get to be a big race fan like this?
Actually, you're looking for a way to swell your head. It was through Karnak.
No way.
I met everybody I met through Karnak.
Way to go, Jack.
Seriously.
Oh, no, I have no doubt in my mind.
Because
Karnak has been around 10 years, correct?
Yeah. So I was one of the first ones that got in trouble on there.
That's when I got the same kind of funny call from a friend of mine and went, hey, look at this site, and look how my life has changed. But that's pretty cool. But, I mean, you were going to races before that.
Oh, I've been going. I was in diapers the first time I went.
Oh, there's a picture.
they had diapers? Wait, never mind.
Yes, they did.
That was in Boston?
In Boston. Yes. As a matter of fact, Bobby Santos, I used to watch his grandfather race up there in Massachusetts. Awesome racer, and it sure has passed it down.
Two generations
nice
of that Santos family were there.
I met his dad, and I met...
He is a really nice kid.
Very nice.
Really nice kid.
Yep.
And it is, I believe, what is his son there?
His son and his grandson.
Okay. I knew there was a,
Carol,
there was a whole bunch of generations.
You've traveled just about the whole length of the state of Florida for race. What's one of the highlights? What's one of your highlights?
This Saturday night was the highlight of any racing I've done in the state of Florida. It was unbelievable.
And you know what, Jack? I'd have to agree with her.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
That was the best racing ever.
It was spectacular.
Just from the pictures of the people in the stands, it must have been
really good. What's a better word?
Stupendous. I don't know. The stands, it's the first time I've ever seen the stands full like that.
Did you get one of these hats?
No. I don't get anything for being Florida's best fan.
Well, wait a minute. You just got a Short Track America
hat.
Yes,
I did.
We did help you out.
And I have to watch where I go with it.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Let me make this easy on you. Tell us your best road trip story, because you've ridden with a lot of folks to a lot of tracks in Florida.
I went to New Smyrna for the, which one was it?
Governor's Cup.
Governor's Cup.
The Governor's Cup.
Right.
And I left there about 12, and I wound up back there at 1 and 2 and 3. You can't get out of that place.
Yeah.
There's no signs. There's no nowhere. So we seriously.
Did you turn the headlights on the car?
Oh, okay. And the only one that was still up was Frasson, Jerry Binner. So that was pretty hectic.
Lost at New Smyrna?
I get lost every time I get there. I just can't get out.
Go out and make a right.
No woman jokes.
Let's make a right.
Let's pin it down. Tell me your best traveling trip story with Jack, because you've ridden with him several times places.
His wife's here.
No, that's my ex-wife.
Oh, okay. Anything goes. I'm just kidding. Jack and I went to Ocala Speedway.
With you?
For the Powell Memorial Race, and that was another really good race and an awesome racetrack.
I think right now the crop of tracks we have, for what they're worth, are really all pretty good tracks. I mean,
they really
there's
are.
A couple
they
of them that need a little work,
to,
but
yeah.
Otherwise they're still hanging in there.
So let's go back to Lakeland here for a minute. What was it about that? What are some of the things about that weekend, that race Saturday? What was the deal here?
The excitement of everybody that was there. I mean, there was such a crowd. I've never been on a track during an autograph session where you can't hardly move. You can't see the cars.
Did we get a crowd count? Did anybody ever say?
Unbelievable.
I'd have to say pretty close to $4,000 in the front stands, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it was more than that.
Well, it holds 10,000.
That was more than that.
So I would imagine it was more than that.
There was probably around 8,000 people.
It was wall to wall.
Yeah, it was probably around 8,000.
You know, in all fairness, around here, if they started doing some decent marketing, we could fill all our tracks like that.
Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting because we started running ads on Karnak.com. For that race, 10 days in advance. So ads ran for 10 days. We had like 950 clicks to their website, to the USA International website, in those 10 days. And that's like way more than we ever get.
That's thumping.
Yeah, that's thumping. So there was a definitely an interest.
That's 100 a day. Maybe they just lost, had to keep coming back. Just choking.
Are you making fun of me again?
Just a little bit. Playing with you.
Where were you Saturday?
Where was I Saturday?
What's the password?
That's right. I was putting the Saturday Night Live action back in action, so to speak, with the after.
You know what else happened this past Saturday night?
What?
You know what else happened this past Saturday night?
What?
Save the Mamba.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Mamba was saved.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Bill Hunt and see his pictures. And,
we're dripping his, fire.
Put some of them pictures up on the internet here real soon.
I want to see the burn mark after they pulled the car.
So, Bill, before we get too far, just one.
Yeah.
What about the Saturday night deal?
We cranked it back up. We cranked it live after the races. We're doing the Saturday night live show after the races, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern time, going until I get done with calls. I'll go till 3 or 4 in the morning if I have to. We went only until about 2:30, I think, on this past Saturday night. Had a couple of new callers. We got Lanier Speedway out of Georgia. We've talked to Cochran Speedway out of Georgia. They're going to join in. And then there's several others that have been helping us out. Of course, Florida's been taken care of. It's pretty good. But we're hoping to branch out, get outside the state of Florida a little more, and get some more information.
And on that note, tonight we're going to be focusing almost entirely on ARCA and the things around Florida here. And we're going to talk to Tim Bryant, who just bought. He's been the promoter at Five Flags Speedway up in the Panhandle at Pensacola, home of the Snowball Derby. And we're going to talk to him for quite a while. We're going to spend at least 20, 25 minutes with him tonight and go into depth about that whole deal, because they just – that Speedway has been ready to close. It's been ready to close and be turned into – just 2 years ago, everybody in the state knew it was going to be turned into a parking lot, which doesn't really affect most of us that live in South Florida that much. But the people that live in the Panhandle, people that live in Alabama – people live in Georgia. It's a really big deal. We're going to talk to him tonight. And then next week, and this has to do with your Saturday night deal.
We're promoting this week. We'll talk to a whole bunch more Georgia tracks. So I've had several call me. We're going to have a Georgia night here at the Real Racing USA show, and we'll talk to several of those drivers and people from up north.
Because, Ms. Wicks, you may not know this, but there is a new site out there from Carnac called Georgia Stock Car Racing.
I think I saw that today.
Yeah.
Yes.
So next week we're going to have a number of promoters and drivers and stuff from Georgia.
Do you guys ever
Georgia.
Sleep?
No,
hey,
we
Carol.
Don't. No.
Carol, Frenchie from Buckethead's on. He wants to talk to you.
Who?
Frenchie.
How you doing, French?
How you guys doing?
Parlez-vous français.
Doing awesome, man. Where's your bucket? I can't hear you. You're not echoing correctly.
It's because I'm in this other bucket over here.
Okay.
You're a buckethead.
That's right, sir. Every day and all day.
What's a buckethead?
It's the best race car fan you will ever find at any NASCAR event.
So NASCAR?
Yeah, anything.
Rick, you better take over. You guys.
What's
better,
that? What's that?
Talking NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Ahead,
we
NASCAR.
Want to talk about NASCAR now.
Jack
you want to talk about Alltel?
I like it when people do things that Jack hates.
I can barely hear you guys if you can hear me. But in any event, we started out in NASCAR, and now we're moving into short track racing.
French, are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am, sir, unfortunately.
Are you moving?
No, I'm standing
it's
still now.
Up to the top, I think. Push it all the way.
Just so, making sure. Can you hear us better now?
Yes, I can.
All right.
So if NASCAR are bucket heads, then short track should be potheads.
What?
You roll them all. Smoke them.
Boy.
Oh, my goodness.
What did she just say?
She just called us
potheads. She called us a bunch of drug addicts live on the air. I don't believe it.
Isn't a pot a small bucket?
My God.
Okay.
Now.
Bill Hunt, quit laughing.
We're much bigger than that. We're barrel heads.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cistern
heads. The heads at this table are bigger than you can imagine.
In Frenchie. Fact, we wouldn't slide through the barrel, but that's a different story.
She's a plant.
The barrel, isn't there?
Who's a plant?
You went way too deep just then.
Hey,
Frenchie,
go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to ask Frenchie, what was the last race you saw, Frenchie, live and in color?
Live and in color was Daytona 500.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were up there. We had myself and our driver, Ray Black Jr., up there racing, checking everything out, letting him experience that kind of event. And we were there meeting with some of our friends from Tums and Nicorette that I am affiliated with. And those two go together.
Frenchie, you talking all this stuff. You and Wicks talking all this stuff, and a lawyer walks in and sits down amongst us here. I mean,
yeah, I just talked about Alltel Cellular, and then
Mr.
Here
James,
I'm leaving.
I had a good time.
James Carter, as a matter of fact.
Go ahead, Frenchie. We just interrupt because we like you.
I understand, but I'm calling in tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit about our race this weekend over in Charlotte County, and just to to give word of what we're trying to do to help out a couple another charity that we were talking about doing. And
now,
is that in North Carolina?
Oh, wait a minute. If you're saying over in, you must be located somewhere laterally to it, because it is surely down under us.
Oh, man, you guys are too much.
Anyway.
Trust me, the next time I call your show, I'm going to have my words mapped out on a piece of paper. I don't get doubled.
Hey, what's happening at Charlotte County Motorsports Park now? You got to get the name right, too.
Motorsports Park. Let's see. We're going to run in the Fast Mini Cups race. We're going to bring we've changed our total scheme and sponsorship. We started working with a new sponsor from NAWI and the Professional Career Training Institute down in 40 Fathoms Grotto in Ocala. And basically, our cars are all painted up like dive flags. So our driver is now supporting the diving community. And we're going to offer $500 to the winner of the Florida Mini Cup. The Fast Mini Cup. I'm used to racing in that series, but I apologize. The Fast Mini Cup series is going to be $500 to the winner. And if our driver does happen to get lucky enough to win it, he will be donating his winnings to the Boy Scouts of America charity. And basically, we're going to give away 10 passport dives for the 40 Fathom Grotto in Ocala, Florida, to people that register at the booth there that we're going to set up at the track.
You know, I just thought of a promotion for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you ought to call up Don Nerone. I can give you his number if you'd like. Maybe you could call up Don Nerone from Fast Car. He needs some help. Maybe you could work out a sponsorship arrangement, because he needs a new name for his modified series.
Yeah.
The poor man is really taking a beating,
and maybe
deservedly, I don't know, but he's really taking a beating, and he needs a new name, and maybe you can help him work out a sponsorship deal where you guys could award something to the person who comes up with the best name.
Yeah, we can work something out.
He needs help keeping some of the floats that are going for a dive, though. So you need to pass some of those dive things off to the three of us, man. We could go on a dive trip and talk about how nice it is.
I am not going diving.
Oh, come on.
I am
you
not,
look good underwater.
No guts, no glory.
We're talking about Jack, right?
Yeah, Jack.
No,
right.
Jack's not going underwater. You can forget that.
He's always Jack's afraid his hair will get caught in the propeller.
I know almost every diver around there. I'll bring them all with me.
I'm sorry, say.
Jack's a bobber.
Jack's a bobber. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway, man, it's good to hear from you. We'll look forward to a bunch of folks getting out to Charlotte County.
You only knew.
Yeah, you don't want to go there. Anyway, thanks, Frenchie, buddy, for giving us a shout, man.
Hey, I appreciate calling in, and thanks a lot, guys.
We will see you Saturday night. I'll be down there.
Absolutely. We'll be here from Thursday evening on.
You have been warned.
Have a good one.
Bye, buddy. Fridgie.
I'm so happy to see the crowds we've been having down there.
Yeah.
That place has been packed every week since
it's
Bobby
been pretty
got
awesome.
There.
Do you think that's from just the local classes? They're getting so much better. I mean, the Road Warriors and the Junkyard
up.
Dogs.
There's a lot more cooperation
it's that,
this
it's
year,
that
too.
It's that P word.
Promotion.
Pot. They're giving pot away at Charlotte County?
Now that's why we're getting them in there. Okay.
Man, it's time for a commercial. Let's come back with some ARCA people here.
Please, do something.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Next time the waiter comes in...
We need a waiter in the Short Track America room, please.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen. Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment. Carnac.com for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
Welcome back, Real Racing USA. Getting ready to come at you with some flames, some excitement, some heat.
No, I didn't.
We're talking... Yeah, three flaming bodies about to burn out. Bill Hunt has sat down with us. He is the photographer from our friends down south at Charlotte County Speedway. And we had the Green Mamba down there. He did a little meltdown there, Bill, and you've got some amazing-looking photos.
Turn your mic on there, big boy.
He did quite a meltdown there, actually.
What kind of vehicle was it when it started?
It was a Ford Bronco.
Full size or the small Bronco 2?
I think it was a small one. It had been wrecked. It had been rolled.
Okay.
Bad.
Okay. So it had been beat up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But he backed up to it, chained up to it, I take it?
Oh, it was chained to him like a dog to a tree. I mean, it was. And when he fired it up.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing when he fired it up. It started glowing.
You've never seen that, Jack?
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw one. In fact, I think it was the Mamba that did the bus, wasn't it? Back two, three, 4 years ago when Stewart did his Sunday show at East Bay.
The one I saw was a Lincoln
at
DeSoto.
But anyway, it's just an awesome.
He fired up at first. He came out for a teaser in the middle of the racing and just did laps, hot laps around the track.
Well, that'll warm the track up.
I couldn't believe he was doing laps.
Was it loud?
It was loud. It was like the jet flying by. He did four laps of the track, four or five.
Anybody time him?
Oh, the Junkyard Dogs could have beat him, I think. He wasn't
taking it easy, huh?
He didn't have the afterburner kicked in.
Well, that's cool. I know it's a cool thing. It's nice to know that it's up and running. Now, whenever he was finished, did you get a chance to talk to him or hear from him at all? Did he like what happened, and did he appreciate that everything that was working correctly and everything's fine with the car?
In the interview, he did say that he was glad everything worked out as good as it did, so he seemed to be happy.
And you have that on video?
Yeah. Yes. Cool.
Are we going to have an opportunity to sell some of those?
These videos will be available when?
They will be for sale at the track this Saturday.
All right.
You can pre-order them if you like by calling the track.
All right.
There you go.
Maybe we ought to put just a little teaser up there on what lines we're
doing.
Yeah, we'll do that.
First cranks up.
Also, this past weekend, we had a surprise visit by the Dead Man. I don't know if anybody knows anything about the world of wrestling.
Bobby Deale doesn't know a damn thing about putting on a show, does he?
Well,
you got to tell people they're coming.
The Undertaker. He wants you to.
Yeah.
The Undertaker.
The Dead Man was there.
The Undertaker was there.
The Dead Man was there. Yes, he
was.
Wow.
Tell us the story here.
You're telling me the Undertaker was at Charlotte County Motorsport Park, and nobody in the freaking world knows he was there.
That's coming back with the TBRA on April 14th.
Uh-oh, now they know he's there.
To do an official live announced visit. But he was there Saturday night. The Dead Man was there.
Wow.
And it was a surprise. He got out of a limo, is that right?
Well, he got
out of to Lakeland.
He got out of a Chevy. He got out of a big one. Suburban, SUV. I guess. Yeah. He got out and wowed the crowd, stayed for the night of racing. People were lined up and down the bleachers waiting to see him come out every time he came out. He's going to drive a truck, I understand, in the Thunder Trucks. They're talking about him driving.
So in
North Florida, you have Ricky Carmichael with Mark Martin. Mm-hmm.
Big crowd.
Big crowd.
Last exactly one quarter of the first lap.
Yep.
Carmichael climbed over the top of a car and turned one on green flag.
And then in the South, we have the Green Mamba and the Undertaker and all that stuff. It's amazing. And in the middle, you got Arca. I mean, how can you beat this?
Oh, man, you can't.
So you got
21 limited late models at DeSoto
every week because you never know what's going to happen next.
Oh, man.
So you're on the payroll.
The dead man comes out of nowhere.
So you're on the payroll.
Well, I don't know if it's payroll, but
is Father Time scared to say Undertaker? I'm not sure. Yeah, that was going on kind of the same afternoon, right?
The air show was across the street. It was very crowded with the air show, and they got out just in time to stop by the track for the Green Mamba.
Did they? Did a lot of folks look like migrate across and come on over?
We had a big crowd. I don't know the final breakdown of who came from where, but I know we had a nice crowd.
Cool. Yeah, well, that's awesome, man. It's great. I'm glad that Bobby still got it, you know, going well, and things are, you know, rolling for him.
We've been having great crowds every week, and there's always been something going on.
What's the latest?
That's a surprise, because you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah,
you know?
This is true. What's the latest big change? Are they working on the corner with the memorial and so forth?
Well, yeah, we've got that. We still need to letter the hat, or the helmet, rather.
Is it there?
But it's there. Oh, it's there. It's painted. It looks great.
The eyes, the goggles, the
scenery on the front has not been painted yet.
Gotcha.
But the goggles are there. The hats, the helmet's painted black. It's got a red and gray belt to hold on the goggles, and I think we have an artist lined up to paint it.
Wow. And this is going to be, folks, if you don't understand, if you've ever been to Charlotte County Speedway, it's going to be between turns 3 and 4 up on the hill. Up high, where people can see it as they come down the road and start to approach the track.
You can see it from the interstate.
Yes, they probably can. And it's going to be, it's a helmet that's going to represent Dale Earnhardt Sr. And there's going to be two flagpoles, I believe.
Yes, there'll be two flagpoles.
One with the American flag.
And one with the
Florida state flag, I believe, at first. And then he was thinking about flying a POW flag, maybe.
There is one flying right now from the figure eight flag stand.
So it's just
we also have two replicas of Dale Earnhardt cars sitting there, and we're working on one or two more go up there with it for the display.
Now, photographs of all this stuff is on your website, right?
No, they will be on the website. They're not right now.
Are these up there?
No.
Okay, we're not
yet.
The mom is not
there. No, it's not up there yet, but it will be. It's
speedimages.net. This is Tuesday night.
Speedimages.net.
And this is Tuesday night, so if you took the pictures on Saturday night, you work Sunday and Monday to get the pictures done, to get the videos done, and so forth.
I'm still working on the video. It takes 3 or 4 days to do the video. It takes a lot.
And there's a great opportunity for anybody in the Charlotte County area who wants to promote their business, because you're looking for a sponsor, and if somebody comes to you and you can work out a little deal here, they can get their name, their business logo, their message on all of the videos that you sell.
It could be the video sponsored by or brought to you by their company.
You could actually put a video commercial on every one of those.
I would produce a commercial for them to their tastes and to their likes and to their needs.
Wow.
Give me a price tag, baby.
We don't talk numbers, man.
Oh, come on. There's some little guys out there that might want to stretch. See if they get there.
I need a sponsor for some equipment.
Okay. Talk to Bill.
Basically, we need to upgrade the equipment down there, Charlotte, right? You need to upgrade
Correct.
The equipment.
Yes, I do.
We've been through that, I think. All right.
Yeah. Well, it's what you do, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we do need a video equipment upgrade pretty bad.
All right.
That's awesome. Next year, I guess you're going back and doing the Santa Claus thing again?
If the price is right.
It's March. It's March.
I'm just thinking about Christmas. I got nine kids.
If things work out at Charlotte County, I might not need to go be Santa.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, man.
Awesome.
And not a problem. Enjoy it all the time.
All right. And Charlotte County Speedway, Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Charlotte County Motorsports Park, charlottecountyracing.com.
Exit number 161.
Off of I-75, north or south.
And I think we're going to take another break, and then we'll come back and do ARCA.
The South's fastest short track.
Wrong.
Turn the bottom ones on.
Maybe he was the daughter of the president. You got it. All right, we'll be back, folks. Don't go far.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
I'm Gary LaPlante, owner of the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Sounds good. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at the Snook River Grill, 2505 East Manatee Avenue in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. Coming around the world and across the country on our internet stream, and we are about, Jack, to go to one of the coolest deals, I think, that happened all weekend, the Saturday race at USA International Speedway.
Well, as you know, as we wandered around out onto the track as the cars were getting lined up for the autograph session, they put them in the order in which they're going to start, and young man there on the outside pole position was, I was talking to him, and, you know, he's very quiet, obviously a young man. Turns out he's 16. I believe he turned 17 yesterday. He's from Plano, Texas. And, you know, I looked behind him and I saw starting behind him were the likes of Wayne Anderson and Mario Goslin. And I'm thinking, this young man's not going to last long up there. And boy, was I wrong. Now, he did not only last it up there, he ended up winning the race. James Buescher, how you doing, young man?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
We're doing good. So, has the excitement worn off at all?
A little bit, not really.
I tell you what, now this should have been one of the most exciting nights in a long time. You've raced that track before, I believe, have you not?
Yes, I have. About 2 weeks ago in the Hooters Pro Cup Series, I was racing.
Okay, I figured that was to get you a little seat time, and so you figured out then that this track needed a special approach to get around it and get up front. So what was it you did different from the Hooters race to this race to get where you were?
I think just the experience on the track helped us a lot, and we did different pit strategies. I was with a different team in the ARCA race than the Hooters race, so just everything was different, everything but me.
Now, you're 17 years old, or you're reaching 17 or going to 18?
I just turned 17 yesterday.
Okay, just turned 17 yesterday. So you were 16 when you won the race?
Yes.
Wow. That is awesome. Phone calls kind of been coming in hot and heavy since Saturday night?
Yes, they have. Haven't stopped.
Who tell us some of the folks you've had to talk to talk about this win.
I talked to the Buckeye Speed Zone last night. There's a couple of radio stations y'all called. There's another radio show I have to do later today on Race Talk Radio.
Wow.
All kind of stuff's been going on.
Well, that's impressive.
When was your birthday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. What a birthday present, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, was it like two to go when you made that pass?
They said it was 11 to go.
11 to go? Okay. I knew it was there towards the end.
I think it was inside of 10 to go, and then the caution came out at the end, and it extended the race past 250 laps. So
Yeah, that was an awesome move on the inside there. I believe that was in turn two.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it was. Because I was standing down there. Now, when you got out of that car in the winner's circle, your guys were waiting on you. You got a champagne bath down there, didn't you?
Yeah, champagne, water, all kind of stuff. I don't even know.
But I think the person that was most excited about that race was your girlfriend, because she was crying her eyes out.
She was really excited. I think I made her a little nervous.
Yeah, just a little bit. It looked like one of those scenes from American Idol.
Yeah. Now, James, you said you just a few weeks earlier you were running Hooters Pro Cup there. What kind of difference is there between the Hooters Pro Cup car and the ARCA car?
The ARCA car, I think, has a longer wheelbase, and it's 100 pounds heavier, got more horsepower. And the Hooters car, we were racing on a radial tire, and the ARCA car was a bias by tire. So the Hooters car was lighter, and it gets to the corners a lot better, handles better, I think. And just the ARCA car just a lot faster on the straightaways. You have to slow it down a lot more.
Now, any time during this race when you were going in or out of the pits or any of the other things that may have come up to kind of scare you a little bit, get you nervous about being able to, you know, stay up in contention and get through this one in one piece?
After the second caution, we were pretty far back in the line, and I figured a lot of people were done with their pit stops, so it kind of made me a little bit nervous. But car was good enough to make it back up through the field. I think a lot of people had pitted a while before, so we had less laps on our tires. That helped a little bit, but just had to stay focused on what we were there to do and pass as many cars as we could, as fast as we possibly could to get to the front.
Now, getting down to the end of this race, and you've got, you know, a handful of laps left and so forth, and you're out in the lead, when did you start thinking that, okay, it's safe, I can think about celebrating, this is going to be awesome?
When we had the restart with four to go, kind of got a good jump on the restart, and then thought we were clear sailing to the end. Didn't happen. We had another caution came out.
What was your spotter saying to you? What kind of things does he talk to you about, try to keep you calm or get you pumped up or whatever?
I don't think they were trying to keep me calm. I think they were trying to make me nervous. They came on the radio with the four to go restart and said, James, you know, this is probably one of the most important restarts you're ever going to have to do in your life. I was like, yeah, thanks, guys.
No pressure. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, now you must have some very happy sponsors because they got a lot of mileage out of this one and going to get some more. Who's helping you out? Who's taking care of you?
Mercedes Holmes is our primary sponsor this year. And, they're helping out a lot. And my aunt and uncle, my grandparents, they're sponsoring me a lot too. So they all got to come to the race because they live about an hour and a half from Lakeland. So they got to come down there and watch. They're pretty excited about it.
Now, you're a very soft-spoken and somewhat humble man from what I hear because you've had some championships in the past. Tell us a little bit about your history in racing, some of the things you've done leading up to this big win.
My first championship I ever won was in a Bandolero race car. It was in 2004 at Sunny South Raceway in Mobile, Alabama. Then I moved up to the Legends cars after that, and I won championship in the Young Lions division in Nashville 2005. Finished second in the national points in Legends cars that year too, and then I moved up to ASA last year in the late models in the Southern division and won the championship rookie of the year and most popular driver too.
Wow.
Trifecta.
3 years. Which championship do you want to accomplish this year? Dumb question, but I know what your answer is, I hope.
We're racing Hooters Pro Cup full time, so we're going to try to hopefully get Rookie of the Year or something out of it and win as many races as we can. Just finishing every one as a start.
Go ahead.
Any more ARCA races in the future?
Yeah, we're looking at it pretty close. We don't know exactly which races because I'm not old enough to run the full season. You have to be 18 to race on anything over a mile. So we got to pick from the short tracks as much as we can, but right now are focusing on the Hooters Pro Cup and going to race ARCA and other series as much as we can when we don't have any other races.
How about ASA? Anything with that?
We're kind of looking at it. We don't know if we're going to put any of those on our schedule or not. We have some races on our schedule right now. We don't know if we're going to go through with them or not. Just have to see what's going on and everything else that we have going.
James, is your Hooters Pro Cup team, is that a family-owned team?
No, it's the same team that I race for in ASA, Turner Motorsports.
Gotcha. And so, like, you'll then obviously you'll be at South Georgia Motorsports Park here real soon for the Hooters Pro Cup event there, huh?
Yes, I'll be there this Saturday.
Yeah.
That must be awesome, though, to bring a team like that and have good sponsorship and a good team members and so forth that are helping you win championships, and they're moving along with you because you work so well together then, apparently.
Yeah, it is pretty nice to have them moving up the Pro Cup with me this year because I know they're a championship team. We won the championship last year with them, and it's just nice to know that I have a good team behind me and I'm going to have a good car at every race I go to.
So if you had just turned 18 instead of just turning 17, then you would have been able to race like Talladega and those kind of races in ARCA?
Yeah, I could run Nashville. I think it's on the 7th. And
right.
Talladega, Daytona, all those races that are coming up.
So you're just going to have to hang out at the fender-banging tracks.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, is that kind of like, do you have like a 5-year, 10-year plan of where you're stepping and going because of your age? You're stepping into the right area to get yourself prepared for the big time?
We're trying to figure out what we're going to do. We're trying to start to work on what we're doing next year, but it's kind of early in the year to even think about that. But last year we waited so long to figure out what series we're going to this year. We want to get a good jump on it for next year, but just have to see what happens.
How what did you do? How was your performance at the Hooters race at Lakeland? How'd you do?
We were third fastest in Friday night's practice, and then qualified eighth. We had an early qualifying, so we were like fourth car out or something like that. So the track cooled off and put us back to eighth, and we ran in the top five, top ten. Highest I got up to was third, and then I think we had bad pit strategy or something. Cause we didn't come out up front after the pits, but we ended up finishing eighth. And I spun going across the finish line. Our right rear hub came apart at the end of the race.
Hey, now tell me, what did you think when Bobby Santos ran 3/10 faster than the rest of the field?
I looked at the cloud that was over his head. I think I could have been that fast. I think the track was cooled off a little bit when he went out.
Definitely, because the clouds did roll in right around that time.
Well, like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Well, James, you know, there might have been a cloud over him at that moment, but it looked like at the beginning of the race and on every restart in the early going,
he was a class.
He was a rocket ship out there.
Were you holding back?
He was pretty fast in the beginning of the race. We kept falling back in the beginning. We made a pretty good change in our first pit stop that helped us out a lot. The car handled 30 times better after our first pit stop. I don't think we made the right adjustment after qualifying to start the race on, but we didn't know.
Gentlemen, you are not going to chip away at this young man's confidence, okay? He's not going to let you do it, and I love it.
Well, no, he races against Bobby Gill in the Hooters Pro Cup.
Right.
I mean, come on.
That's right. You got to look at it. I mean, in all reality, though, you were racing against a couple of cup teams, really. You know, Ganassi and Bill Davis.
Big time.
You know, they might not have them Toyotas down in the nasty car, like you say, but they got them down in ARCA.
Yeah,
they're doing pretty good in ARCA.
Yeah,
proud.
Do you guys look at that as? I mean, your team? How does it look at that whole deal? Do you when you go to like in the Hooters Pro Cup, you're racing against some development teams there, right?
Yeah, there's some development teams. JR Motorsports is in there. There's some drivers that are in there that have already signed with cup teams, and they're still kind of doing their own thing and with the cup team's guidance.
So, So do you guys try to – is there things that you can learn from them? Or I mean, is there any of that, or do you just not even pay any attention to it?
We try to treat them like we would treat anybody else. I mean, they're race car drivers too. I don't know.
Okay.
Any rivalries over the years with any of the other drivers? And let's say they moved up to Hooters also?
No, not really. I haven't really had any problems with anybody in a long time.
Well, I tell you what, man, it looks like you're off to an awesome, awesome start in what could be a wonderful grand career. We're glad to be around watching you do it, man.
Jeez. It was fun. Well, it was particularly fun there at the end of the ARCA race watching you and Brian Clausen go at it because you really made it interesting there in the last 20 laps, no doubt.
Yeah, I had to try for a second time to get by him. That lap car got in the way the first time, so it was a lot of fun racing with Brian.
What's your opinion of Brian?
I've never met him before the ARCA race. I talked to him for a while after the race, and I like him. He's a nice kid. He's a good racer. He races me clean. So
we'll tell him you said that because we're going to talk to him here in a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, James. I'll tell you what, man. We will. We'll definitely be looking for you at South Georgia Motorsports Park next week, this coming weekend, Hooters Pro Cup, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. Awesome, awesome win. Young man's going to go a long ways, man. Take care of yourself, bud. That was cool. How cool must it be 16 and win an ARCA race and get that many people taking a peek at you and stuff? It's kind of really, really cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, in the winner's circle, I was watching him in the winner's circle. They were just, I mean, the PR guy for the ARCA was handing him his hats and his towels and, you know, to get his PR pictures taken. And I mean, he was, put this hat on, flip it off, throw it in the car. And he was just going at it, you know, just like he'd done it a million times.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's a pretty good team he's hooked up with, apparently, if they're winning championships in other divisions and moving right on up and, you know, taking him to as far as he can go. Well, guys, I think Brian's up next, but we're going to take a short one.
Take a good one here.
All right, let's take a short one. We'll be right back with some more Real Racing USA live from the Snook River Grill. Call your friends. Get them up on the net. We are here for you.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com. Carnac.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're live at the Snook River Grill with the Real Racing USA. Actually, Dayton Andrews Dodge has just closed out the 2006 year because I got the last 2006 vehicle on the lot that was brand new. It was a Dodge Durango, and I drove it home today. Or actually, my wife drove it home today.
Okay.
And that was after our big wreck last week. We destroyed the Chrysler Sebring.
I noticed you're doing a lot better this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I stopped taking the pills immediately after the show last week.
Hell, you ain't no fun when you're on downers.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
It was tough.
Try anyway, the pot.
Hey, I was looking at some stuff, and Jack, Evergreen Construction or Development Construction Company, they've got a lot of things going on and some neat stuff happening at that place, man. They've got all kinds of neat stuff going on.
Well, they develop.
Oh, man.
They develop.
They take
a place, you know, like they've done some really big projects. They did this, you know, they had this big environmental deal they did over at Kissimmee where they, I mean, turned the place, this huge area, into an environmental preserve kind of place. They did the development for that. They did the
isn't that part
it's
of taking
not just
the,
land clearing. They do
it wasn't that part of taking the Strait Canal and turning it back into its natural
thing. Yeah,
that was a big project.
If you need a housing development put together, they do it. They do the development of the property, the preparing everything ready for the vertical to go up. Yeah. And if you want, they can do the vertical too.
Yeah, they do the utilities, the drainage, the roads, everything, set you up, whatever you want. And don't think that they're only doing big, huge developments. They will clear out, you know, an acre and a half for you to put your mobile home on. Just
give
them a call.
Now, on the 16th of April, we're going to be starting our ASA Fastlane show on Monday nights, 7 o'clock. And Evergreen Development and Construction is going to be the primary sponsor for that show. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. Be some great information going out. And they're already the awesome Perry Brown, or sponsor Perry
Spectacular.
Brown.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Spectacular Perry.
No awesome this week, huh?
What can I say? I'm an old head.
We'll do stupendous next week. See, when we hear, people don't realize we do this in front of a live audience, and people from the audience, they throw us stuff. Sometimes they throw things at us, but they throw us little pieces of information and questions to ask. It's kind of fun.
Why was your family first to go? What happened?
Oh, they didn't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. They're just touring.
They're out there.
Oh, they're on the back door banging to get back in.
They're still smokers.
Oh.
Smoking them.
Two more weeks, man. It'll be cigarette. 6 months.
6 months Rick hasn't smoked. And I haven't smoked in about 5 years, so.
Been that long?
Yeah, well, it's been a long time. 4 or 5 years, yeah.
I remember we used to take Joe to the races.
Oh, poor boy, choked to death.
Oh, choked to death.
Choked to death in the car.
Yeah.
I've made 20 years, 6 months without the drinking thing.
All right, so.
Good deal.
Yeah.
I've been a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're going to be talking here in a minute to Brian Clausen.
Hey, Brian.
And, you know, Rick, this is this young man's first stock car race he ever raced in.
Right.
He's
right.
A sprint car racer, a very accomplished sprint car racer,
yes,
at 17 years of age. This is his very first stock car race. He goes to Lakeland's USA International Speedway, a three-quarter mile bank track against all kinds of experience. He goes out and comes in second, almost wins it. He's with Ganassi Racing.
He let the young kid win this one.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
I doubt
he was a year younger.
They raced hard for
Mr. Brian Clausen. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. We're in Florida, where it's really hot.
We're actually in Georgia, so we're not too bad ourselves right now.
There you go.
What town in Georgia are you in?
We're actually at the Atlanta airport right now.
It's a matter of,
We're heading home from beta testing down in Talladega.
So
how many? You told me earlier you ran like 400 miles or 400 laps or something at Talladega today.
Yeah, we actually ran about 160 laps. So it was around between 400 and 500 miles. We were doing a motor test for one of our Cup teams down there. So we were just logging laps and getting used to the bigger track and the bigger cars there.
So wow. You're practicing one of the Cup cars?
We're actually in an ARCA car.
Oh, okay.
Now, if they won't let you run the race that is held there by ARCA until you're 18. But they'll let you practice when you're 17?
Correct. You can. You're allowed to practice anywhere. I guess at any age. and then but you can't race till you're 18.
When do you turn 18, Brian?
June 15th.
So you will be at Talladega in the ARCA race later this year?
Correct. Yeah, we're actually planning on running that race. You know, that's kind of one of the reasons that we came down and did this deal. That just kind of get to log some laps. And I think they have another open test down here later this summer that before the race. So we kind of wanted to come down here and get a feel for the track, so that way when we come down here in the summer that we can kind of concentrate on drafting and picking up that part of it.
Gotcha. Now, how did you get hooked up with Chip Ganassi Racing and that whole deal?
We actually met with them in the summer of 2005, and we came down to North Carolina. I was meeting with some teams, and they just kind of said, keep us posted on how you do and how everything goes. And by the end of 2005, they had an opening in their driver development program open up, and we were lucky enough they felt I was qualified to fill the spot. So.
Yeah, was that interviews and stuff you had to go through, or just the racing aspect of, well, you're doing good enough, come on down, we'll try you?
A little bit both. Definitely the racing aspect was a big part of it. They had been keeping an eye on me and through the internet and that kind of stuff, and they knew people with the sprint car races, and they kind of passed around, and luckily, I don't think anybody had anything too bad to say about me because we got the deal, but they definitely kept a close eye on me all of 2005.
Well, that was my next question. At what point did you know that they were looking at you or had walked up and asked questions about you and you knew that it was Chip Ganassi Racing?
Actually, right after the meeting, we kind of talked about it, and they sort of asked that we kind of take ourselves off the market almost, and sort of had a gentleman's handshake that, as long as we kept doing what we were doing, and running as well as we had been, and that they, as soon as something opened up, that they would kind of try and slide me in, and luckily enough that everything played out right, and we were able to solidify the deal.
Are there like steps in this process, and you know what the process is? You'll know how many years down the road it might take to get to where you want to be, or do they just kind of go at it, and as good as you are, they'll keep moving you along?
We kind of have a plan going in. That was one of the big things that we really liked with the Ganassi when we met with them. They had a real solid plan for us, and as far as the development stage of things. And right now, I think we have a 2 to 3 year plan out, we work on that every year. And kind of where we want to be and how we want to be running in 2 to 3 years, and sort of what point in my career and what point we need to be at. With the teams and everything in 2 to 3 years.
Brian, before the race, I came over there right when you guys first came out for the autograph session before anybody else was on the front straight, and I talked to you for a minute. And I asked you, once you told me you were, because Travis Wilson had told me on Friday a little bit about you and that you were a sprint car racer, it's your first stock car race. And I was asking you some questions, and you told me in some respects it was kind of like slow motion compared to the sprint car deal. Is now that you had your ARCA experienced, does that give you an edge, the fact that you race sprint cars going like 900 miles an hour?
Definitely, I think it does a little bit, just because of the sprint cars. Everything moves around a lot more, and you're a lot more on edge a lot of time, whereas an ARCA race, especially Lakeland, we kind of were just biding our time for a lot of that race until we got mixed up on the crash there with Santos, I think lap 120 or something like that. But for the first 120 laps, we're just kind of sitting there biding our time. And sprint car deal, you're full tilt, 100% on the edge, the whole race. So definitely, it kind of helps to be able to kind of sit back and be able to save tires and kind of almost plan your race out. More than you can actually in the sprint car, so it definitely helps having that experience. And the sprint car deal, you get a lot of wheel to wheel racing and bumping, and not so much bumping and banging, but good close hard racing, and that definitely helps in anything you're going to go do.
Now you ran sprint cars mainly. You probably had a lot of practice time in the asphalt cars though, right?
Yeah, we ran ran a pavement sprint car in midget all last year, and then. As far as stock car goes, we only had one test at Lakeland and a test in an ASA car at Peach State. But other than that, we didn't have much stock car experience, so I was kind of nervous going in, just not knowing really what to expect. But it turned out all right for us.
So you have plenty of time to think going down the front straight and the back straight at Lakeland.
Lakeland actually turned out to be a little quicker than once we got racing there, a lot more was happening than what I expected. But at Talladega today, we had plenty of time to do serious thinking down the straightaway. So
Let me get this right, though. When you came to USA International for this race this past weekend, you had only been on USA once before, and that was testing, and then you went testing at Peach State, and then that was it?
Yeah, correct. That was the
Holy smokes.
Stock car.
This guy catches on quick. That is awesome, man, really and truly, because Lakeland USA International, I mean, the people that live in this area that love that track and want to go to it and be able to win something there are still beating their brains out trying to make it happen because it's just so difficult to get around.
Yeah, it's definitely a tight little short track. We kind of took to it even in the test that we got going really quick, pretty quick there early on. And, I got to give it a lot to my guys. We went down and tested, and we were pretty good. We weren't bad. And they went back to the shop and worked, the 2-3 weeks we had before the race and did everything we could to make that car better. And, they worked hard all month, and it really showed. Once we unloaded for practice, we felt like we had the car to beat from the beginning. And we didn't get to quite do we never really post a lap in practice. We never did much qualifying stuff, but we knew ourselves that we were gonna have a good shot at winning that deal. And for a while there, we felt like we were in the catbird seat, and then we got involved in that incident, and we kind of forced our hand pitting wise, and having to stay out on old tires there at the end. But I was just really proud of everybody involved.
After just those two tests, with the ASA and the ARCA car, how long did it take before you were comfortable in that car, the ARCA car?
The ARCA car probably took, about 2 to 3. We ran 40 lap sets, so it probably took about two to three sets to get going, probably about 100 laps to really feel like I could hustle the thing around there. And, it's just a lot different than the sprint car, and it wasn't super hard to really get used to. It's just fixing all the minor bad habits I had from the sprint car that didn't work so well in the stock car.
So how did you come about being able to talk to your crew and tell them what the car was doing so they could make the adjustments to make the car better?
I've actually been fortunate enough to work with crew chiefs and stuff in the sprint car, so being able to relate to the crew chief what the car's doing wasn't too new to me, so I had a pretty good idea how to relate to them and tell them what I was feeling. So that really didn't take much effort at all.
Now, I was at Peach State just recently. What possibly could you have learned on that shorter track in the car? What were you working on the week or whatever you did today that you went testing at Peach State Speedway?
We actually just went down there to shake down the ASA car. We're getting ready to run it at Nashville this weekend at the Music City Motorplex for the ASA race. And so we're just kind of shaking it down, getting used to that, getting some more time in a stock car. Like I said, it was real limited, so we were just kind of trying to get as much seat time as we could before the Lakeland race. And, it definitely helped me in, the ASA car. We could hustle it a little harder, and I think that helped me kind of hustle the ARCA car a little bit more around Lakeland.
Now, do you live in the Peach State area, the Peach State Speedway?
No, I actually live in Noblesville, Indiana.
That's what I thought. Must be the teams in the neighborhood down there.
So obviously, one of your heroes here as a youngster has got to be Tony Stewart.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tony's incredible. He can jump in about anything and be competitive in it. And he's definitely an icon around Indianapolis and, I'm sure everywhere else. He's just one of those race car drivers that, don't come around too often.
Well, apparently, there's a lot of people who have that to say about you. I've read a lot of media today, press that about you in the past year or so here, and there are some pretty impressive list of people who are describing you as one of America's top prospects.
That's pretty cool. I've seen a few too lately, and that's pretty neat to have. But you know, always with that stuff comes the pressure to perform, and you know, so it's good and bad. But you know, it's just an honor to you know, even be recognized as someone in that position, and you know, hopefully you know, if we just keep doing what we're doing, and you know, run the best we can, then we'll stay there.
I'll tell you what, now, I want to ask you the same question that I asked James. He was on here a little while ago with us, and that is, what was your impression of racing James?
Of racing James?
Yeah, what did you think of James Beshear and his racing? Because he kind of felt that you were
He said you were a good kid.
Yeah, you were one of the best kids he'd raced, and it was awesome to race with you.
Yeah, it was definitely, he did an awesome job. You know, he was there at the end when he needed to be, and you know, it was fun racing with him. I was talking to somebody before the race down there, and they were asking about the beating and banging, and if it came down to it, if we would be willing to. And you know, luckily both of us ran each other clean, and he did an awesome job. And you know, I'm sure I'll be getting to race with him a lot more. And you know, he really did a great job, and it sounded like he ran the Hooters Pro Cup race the week before and almost won it. So you know, it definitely sounds like he's gonna be one to watch.
Well, I tell you what, both of you kids are going to have to, you know, there's going to be a race to see who gets into the higher ranks of racing's quickest, and you got a couple of years on him, so I'm sure you get some more experience at those big tracks, and he'll be looking to look you up whenever he turns 18.
Yeah, definitely, and you know, I'm sure he's not too far away from it. You know, that win down at Lakeland was probably pretty big for him, and you know, it's just awesome to get to run with guys like that and younger guys, and you know, guys that we'll be seeing a lot of each other you know, throughout our careers.
And your next stop is
Nashville.
Cool.
Music City Motorplex on Saturday.
And you got a great website, brianclausen.com. It's a great website. People can keep up with you, man. We wish you the best of luck, and it was wonderful. We really, really are happy we got a chance to meet you and watch you perform at USA International.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on the show.
Last question before you go. If you win the guitar, can you play it?
I'll get lessons.
There you go. Take care, buddy.
See you, Brian.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Wow.
All right, Jack, what are we coming back with?
Man, they're getting younger.
I think we're going to talk to Johnny Action Jackson and his attorney he brought along with him. He's scared of us.
All right. We'll take
do we have
break.
To sign any paperwork before we do this interview?
Hey, it didn't start. We'll just do it that way.
Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste it.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating.
Save me a big one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Welcome back once again, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at the Snook River Grill. If you hear me keep leading us back into the session, that's because Mr. Rick Angie is piloting the ship tonight, and that's a good job, Rick.
I feel like Captain Kirk.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up. Hey, listen, Johnny Jackson, if you don't know the name, you probably just ask your dad. But there's lots of folks that know Johnny.
Ow.
As Johnny has been around racing for a little while and causes a stir every once in a while. Johnny, you just have, buddy, have you not?
Well, once in a while we stirred it up. But, hey,
That's just how racing is sometimes, isn't it?
Now, what are you doing right? What are you doing this year? What are we up to?
Oh, we're racing a few ARCA races. Might try a few late model races at Bradenton. We still got our late model. We just haven't really been using it.
Do you have a regular motor or a crate motor?
For the late model?
Yeah.
It's our own motor.
It's your
own? Got in there before the crate motors came around. So,
Johnny, this past Saturday night, man, you know, we talked before the race, and you were having a good time signing autographs and
too mellow,
and all
too
that
mellow,
stuff. And
man,
you just chilled out. And, you know, you were in the 72. Mario was in the main car. You know, the main car, and everybody had their eyes on that. But I'm telling you, when I looked up on lap 92 and I saw 72 in the number one spot out there, man, that was awesome.
Leading an ARCA race.
Leading the ARCA race.
Did you take a picture of the board?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yes,
I did. He took a picture of the board.
Yes, I did.
I was excited, too. I couldn't wait. You know, it was great. We had a good time Saturday night. The main plan was to get out there and run 250 laps and stay in the lead lap and just be there at the end. That was the main thing.
Well, we talked before the race, the week before at work, and you said, I'm not sure if I'm up for this. It's been a long time since I've been in a car, and 250 laps, a long time, long race. Now, did it feel like that when you're in the car?
Once I got out there, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, looking that week, it looked like it was a pretty big mountain we had to climb. We hadn't been in a car for, I don't know, 6-8 months. We went to Pocono and had a good time there. Went run half the race. But we wanted a lot more practice, really, before we went to Lakeland. We got a 20 laps before we got there, race day.
When you came out of the car, did it feel like 250 laps?
Actually, you looked pretty spry to me when you got out of the car. Pretty happy.
We put some blowers in there, and we had a lot of air coming in, and the weather really helped us out.
Beautiful night.
June or July, we'd have been struggling, I think.
Yeah, I forgot it's Johnny Blowers, comb, dryer.
He's got a seat in this car that looks like a Barca lounger laying in there. It looks like if he leaned back, the leg thing would stick up.
He challenged Rick, and Rick couldn't get in it. Yeah. I think he would have probably won that bet.
No,
yeah,
get
I offered Rick $100 if he can squeeze himself up in there. He gets pretty tight on me.
Yeah.
When you were leading the race, and it wasn't too long before that, James Buescher was behind you, but did you feel any pressure at all, or did you just not feel pressure on the track?
Not too much pressure. I don't mean to be confident, but, you know, we were just out there doing our thing. We weren't really paying attention. James is my spotter. He was telling me what was going on behind me. We weren't really paying attention. I think we looked in the mirror 2 or 3 times in the whole 250-lap race.
James, when he got in the lead, what kind of things were you trying to tell him to – number one, I'm sure the entire team went into overdrive trying to figure out how can we stay there. But, I mean, what kind of things were you talking to him about to keep him calm and make him work through the traffic or whatever he had to do?
I was just giving him an idea of what was going on behind him and told him who was there and enjoy it while he could. At the same time, if the pressure got a little intense, maybe we'd let him have it, because the plan was, as he said, is to be there for the whole race. And, you know, you can get your emotions ahead of yourself pretty quick in that race car.
I can hear him now. Hey, enjoy this. You're out front. Take a look at that board, because they're coming behind you.
We took some pictures of the board, too. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we're going to see that,
yeah,
but we took
some
pictures just in case.
Now, what did you think after qualifying, though, when the guy goes out there and smokes everybody by 0.3 seconds?
Well, I thought that was a great speed, and I congratulate him for qualifying that fast. A lot of the cars, we went out early, so we got what we got. We never really practiced enough on new tires before to know what we were going to have for qualifying. Earlier in the day, we put on a set of tires, and we went out and scuffed them, and we were pretty fast and excited. We picked up like 6-7 tenths, and we're like, wow. Amazing how the car liked new tires. So,
so did Johnny. Don't let him kid you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like the new tires, but they're not new for long, so we were just kind of working our car with old tires most of the weekend.
How long do the tires last up there at Lakeland?
I think after 20 laps, you're falling away pretty good.
Really? How many pit stops did you make?
We made 2 pit stops, one to get gas because we were thinking running out. Our team car was getting close, and he says, hey, you got to get some gas soon because you got maybe 2 gallons left. So we came in.
So James, you're the spotter. You were the spotter for him. You're also the sponsor of the car.
Yeah, that was a little different. I I hadn't been in the primary sponsor on a car I'd spotted for ever. So my pucker factor was definitely up. I was making sure he was
pucker
clean.
Factor.
Yeah, well, if you make a mistake, yeah, you pay for it, literally.
We're getting some good words out here tonight.
I was making sure my driver's pucker factor was up also when he needed to. And it worked out really well for him because, you know, obviously finishing the race, finishing in the top 10, getting the eighth, and it was only his second start. That's a huge accomplishment, and I was really proud of him, and it was just great to be a part of the team.
You know, a lot of the action that was happening, though, was in between turns one and two. And there was a couple times I saw you just barely miss a couple of things going on there. You drove an excellent race up there.
Thanks. We got lucky a couple of times. But, you know, usually I drive two or three cars ahead of me no matter what, just by doing short track stuff out of Bradenton. And we raced Punta Gorda for a couple of years. And a lot of that experience does help, and it comes back to you. It's like riding a bicycle.
Now, I got to ask you, though, the change in Johnny Jackson, the driver and the man, what kind of help prompted that? What's calmed you down and made you a little bit more patient?
He ain't no damn different.
Come on now.
I'm trying to help the guy out, and you're throwing him back under the bus.
Well, the funding's a big issue. I got a wife and two kids now, so you got to think about the big picture. But the main thing is the fact we need to learn. You know, and we're not going to learn sitting on the wall watching everybody else race. So you need to think about the big picture. Let's get
keep
out here and get
piece.
Some seat
That's
time
it,
and enjoy it. And we had a great time.
That's all. Now, do you feel anything, any twinge either way for driving against all these younger drivers who are winning races and finishing really good and doing that kind of stuff?
Well, you're only as old as you feel, and I
there
don't feel old yet.
There you go. Anyway, not to mention they got some major funding behind a couple of teams out there.
The funding is a big issue, and we're struggling with that. You know, we could use a few sponsors. We've been looking and trying, and we teamed up with Mario Goslin, and we got two or three cars, and we got some sponsors coming, but, you know, just we need to keep them coming and maybe a little more.
Yeah, part of the thing that you've got going with Mario, though, is you're renting cars, too, at some of the bigger races.
Yeah, we talked about trying to get a budget for our race team. You know, he does what he does, and it's hard trying to get out there and do this. You know, it's $15,000 to $20,000 a race. So we thought about, hey, you know, we could buy a few cars, maybe try and rent them and let some other people have some fun because it's so much fun just being able to get out there and do it and have a good car.
Right. So was this how long ago was the planning put in motion for you to race at Lakeland in the ARCA race?
Oh, we've been thinking about it for a year now. But we raced Pocono last year, and we rented our car for Daytona. We would like to went to Daytona and raced, but we had the opportunity to rent the car, so we went ahead and did that.
What was the Pocono ARCA adventure like?
It was awesome. We went up there with Mario to help him and used one of the backup cars, decided we would go take a little practice, and we were like 22nd or something on the chart when we practiced. Well, that's pretty good.
What'd you end up qualifying?
Wow.
At Pocono, I think we were like 22nd. We qualified, but we never put new tires on. We used the same tires
how many
used
cars?
All day. 42 or 43.
Was that a place hard to get used to, getting around the track?
Not really. There's a lot of time to think about it before you come to the corner.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. You know, yeah. We enjoyed ourselves.
Because isn't but you have the to set the car up? You have to set the car up for one of those turns or a couple of them? Or?
Well, I'm real fortunate that we have Mario in our corner. He got set up, and he's pretty good. You know, he knows his stuff.
That's
an
understatement.
This guy knows his stuff, so that's a ticket, you know?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we have Mario Goslin on the phone with us.
Yeah,
now,
Johnny's been talking really nice about him, and Mario, always one of the standouts when he comes to Central Florida Racing. Everybody loves to go see Mario race. Mario, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Well, I got to start by telling you, you know, there's not two persons like Johnny Jackson. He's an awesome individual to race with, to deal with. Just he's one of a kind.
How many years ago did you meet Johnny?
Oh, probably, I'm thinking 95, 96, maybe 94.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Now, what did you think about Lakeland, buddy? Tell us your side of the story. What went on?
Well, I love Lakeland. I always have. It's a fun track to go to. Got a lot of support, a lot of great fans, and fun track to race on. Just can't catch a break here lately, you know. I mean, led a lot of laps at Daytona and come home 13th, and didn't lead any laps at Lakeland, but I feel like we were going to.
No doubt about
it. We were right there, you know. Got up to second. We had some issues. We got up to second in the beginning, qualified fourth, got up to second, and I don't feel like I had anything for 0-2 car. And then when he got crashed with a lap car, I thought, well, this, you know, we got a good chance here. And We had some body damage. We had to pit a couple times, try to get the car back, you know, back in order. And I felt like that last pit stop there, we made it because we felt like that would give us the tires to go to the end. And unfortunately, got up in the second, ran the leader down, and got caught up with a lap car, cut a left front tire.
Well, you know, Mario, I don't think there was anybody in that race, I don't believe, who had more laps at Lakeland in under competition than you. And, you know, the place was packed. There was probably 8,000 people. I don't know how many people there were. It was one of the biggest crowds Lakeland has seen. You had a full grandstand, and at least half of them had to be cheering for you. And you put on probably what was the best show of the night for the
fans.
Oh,
those closing laps. He was
moving through that field like that. I mean, you could just – yeah. I mean, it was intense, the energy that you could just feel, man. How was that for you when you were doing that?
Oh, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, anytime that you could, you can come through the field and pass cars, and you know, by the only other time, I mean, that's probably more fun than being a straightaway ahead leading the race, you know. Being competitive, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why we do this. I mean, that's why Johnny does this. That's why James does it. You know, little Johnny Sapricone, and Bill Davis, all the people that helped me make this happen, and that's why we are involved in this sport, is to be competitive and beat everybody else.
Now, Mario, I got to ask you, do you ever get an opportunity, I guess maybe during a yellow or a caution or something, to look at the crowd and see how they're reacting to you just driving by?
I have before, you know, but this weekend I don't remember doing that at any time. I was always preoccupied. It seemed like on caution we were trying to figure out, you know, if we were going to pit, what we were going to try to fix. We had damage on every corner of the car, it seems like.
Yeah.
And on every caution, it was pretty busy, you know, doing all that and trying to keep the water temperature down. You know, had to run the fan a lot and try to keep air through the radiator. I mean, we ran probably 230 degrees the whole race. And pretty busy. Didn't get a chance to look in the grandstands to see what was going on there.
Well, last but not least, I wanted to ask you, just how frustrating is it, though, to be that close, knowing you've got a great car, you could finish really well, to get tangled up with somebody in the lap situation?
Well, it's very frustrating, especially that the last three or four races, I've been in positions where I could have won, all the way back to Iowa last year. Had an awesome car, led some laps, and you know, had mechanical problems there. And, I mean, Daytona had an awesome car, probably worst place finish we should have finished there was either first or second, you know, and came home 13th, tore up the car a little bit, and same thing this weekend.
Mario, you have a little bit of ARCA experience here. Didn't you actually win the very first time you went out in the ARCA event?
Yeah, that's right. The first time I ever ran an ARCA race and went to Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is Lowe's Motor Speedway now, and qualified on the pole and won the race.
Yeah. So like this race here that just happened at that Lakeland, your tire didn't go down. You had contact with another car that caused that?
Yeah, at first, you know, I thought I ran something over and cut it down. I really didn't think I was that close to that lap car. I mean, you got to understand that so much goes on as a driver inside that car, and going into the corner, I positioned myself to go around the outside of that lap car and, you know, thought I left myself a lot of room. And I know we got closer, but I didn't think we made contact. And after the race, you know, looking at everything, looking at the flat tire and the sidewall being cut on it, I went and looked at that particular car, and there was a very small donut on the door. And the tailpipes, the very back part of the tailpipes was all shined up where you could tell, you know, would have probably rubbed the tire and cut it. And, you know, for some reason they had their tailpipes hanging out quite a bit from the body, and just one of them unfortunate situations. You know, had it been 6 or 7 inches further up her door or 4 inches further back, it probably would have never happened.
And Johnny, you guys share information with Mario during the race?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that gives us all the information. He's the godfather.
The godfather.
Easy, don't give away all the secrets, guys.
Okay.
Johnny gets all the secrets. We help Johnny the best we can, and Johnny helps us, you know, the best he can. I mean, definitely a team effort, you know, going back to Pocono last year. I mean, when Johnny gets behind the wheel, I got to tell you, every time he does, he just amazes me. He amazes everybody. I mean, he does an awesome job. I mean, look at all the wrecks and everything that happened there, and you look at Johnny's car. It's probably the cleanest car that finished that race. And you got to remember that he ran that whole race on two sets of tires, where everybody else ran it on either three or four sets of tires. So.
James is appreciating the clean car effect.
Yeah, Johnny, did you guys actually try to make a deal with somebody else, one of them other teams, like maybe the O2 team of Bill Davis Racing? Did y'all try to make a deal on some tires?
Well, my crew chief, he was Bobby Orr. I'd like to thank him. I'm sure he's listening or not. He will be later. But all the guys that helped me with the car, I'd like to say thanks to them. But, yeah, he was trying to round me up an extra set of tires, thinking we should put a set of tires on with about 30 to go. But I told him to cool his jets.
Now, that was Bobby Orr, right?
Yeah, that's Bobby.
The son of the late Pete Orr.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's got some pretty good genes going there, too.
How much does a set of tires cost?
Bobby's another big part of this team. You know, Tim Weaver. I mean, there's a lot of people, but Bobby, you know, every chance he gets, he comes to the races. He came to Daytona and helped us, and he's another great kid. I mean, he does an awesome job.
Yeah, pretty soon.
How much does a set of tires cost?
They're about $800.
Oh, that wasn't nothing, Johnny.
Radial tires are about
pull that out of your pocket.
So, Mario, what is your next adventure?
We're working on that right now. You know, we're got a couple people that are going to let me know here in the next couple of days. We'd like to go to Nashville, which is the next ARCA race. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have any primary sponsors to come on board yet for that race, and that's what we're working on. So that's a pretty tough one, being that it's not a TV race. Makes it a little bit tougher, and, you know, we're hoping to round up some dollars so that we can go to Nashville.
Yeah, we're working. We're wide open. We got places available on the car. I've got feelers out in the Nashville area for Mario and Johnny if we can put it together. And I feel kind of like James Buescher earlier said to you guys, no pressure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, Mario, we wish you the best, man. I hope that you can make it there. And I just can't tell you how much the Florida fans really appreciated the effort that that you gave, and not only yourself, but all the Florida guys, but you definitely put on a show for the Florida fans they won't soon forget.
Well, it's fun to go there and be competitive like that. I mean, that's our primary goal is to be competitive. You know, it's terrible that we didn't get the finish that we needed, but, you know, all in all, at the end of the day, I would rather go there and finish 12th, but, you know, being real competitive, you know, having one of the best cars than just going there and maybe finishing 10th, but having a 10th place car all day. But, you know, it's just we gotta do something here, change our luck a little bit, and capitalize on a couple of these races that we're running up front. We need a couple wins.
Well, I'll tell you what, just like Richard Petty once said, if I just had a dollar for every autograph I've signed, buddy, I've seen you sign thousands.
Well, we're Lakeland's our best track. I mean, obviously, when we go to Lakeland, there's a lot of great fans, a lot of Mario Golson fans, and I almost ran out of cards, and I had quite a few. So so it's a lot of fun to go there, and also got to thank, you know, James and his wife, Kamiko, and they do a lot for us. There's so many people that do a lot.
I'm mad you guys have made my
that makes this happen. You know, my wife, my children sacrifice a lot, and we're just hoping that we can get it together. And
Johnny's going to go home.
Finish out the year. We're fifth in points right now, and it sure be nice to be able to come up with the funding to do a full season.
Absolutely. Wish you the best, man.
Mario, thanks so much, buddy.
We know you got
awesome.
You got a guy here working hard on it, James Carter. I'm sure if it can be done, he'll pull it off for you, man.
Oh, I know that. I know James does 110%. Johnny, I mean, you know, we've got a lot of great people doing everything they possibly can. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and we'll keep working. And, you know, if we come up a little short and we don't get to go to Nashville, we'll put some deals together, and we'll be back.
And don't matter where you're racing, Mario, we'd love to talk to you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, man, we'll talk to you.
Just want to say thank you to you guys also, man. You do an awesome job. You got a great program you put on every week, and I know everybody in the racing community really appreciates it. I certainly do, and I want to hats off to you guys for doing it.
Thanks, man.
Well,
thanks
a lot. All right. Don't Mario, take care, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Mario Goslin. Johnny Jackson, buddy, thanks for stopping in, saying hi, talking to us.
Nate, thanks for having us.
It's awesome.
What's that? He's going to get Wayne on?
Yeah, Bill's going to get Wayne Anderson on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to call Anderson Racing up there. Wayne's up there working on a car, too.
Yeah, the phone rings at the shop now.
Yeah.
That's what he told us that.
That's right.
He said he was going to come down when we were too cheap. We wouldn't buy him a beer.
No, actually, Wayne had to do some things. His son was over at the hospital today getting some testing done. Everything's okay.
Good.
A little bit of a heart murmur. No big deal. He says it's all okay. So that's Wayne was going to come down, but he had to go do that trip.
Johnny, I wanted to ask you the car, the ARCA car. Now, is that a former Winston Cup car, or is that one you built?
It's one of our old cars that we put a new body on this year. Yeah. And
it's a former Cup car?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. You know, it's just the idea of those cars, that much horsepower coming out of the turns at Lakeland. I mean, I could see, like, when we first got there during of the day, we're on the back stretch. Coming
said,
out of two.
He said,
somebody's going to hit that wall. And there was some tire marks because, I mean, it was just sideways coming out of two.
Yeah, it's a pretty good handful. We struggled a little bit, too, but we worked with our tires the whole weekend.
On that track in a late model, you know, it's a lighter car and all that, but you got more horsepower in this car, and it's heavier.
Yeah.
And you're on Hoosiers.
It's definitely a handful, that's for sure. Took a little bit of getting used to.
Hey, guys, that was just
What's the difference?
What's that?
That was just like the good old days. Yeah. Back in the Good Cup days, at least from my perspective as a race fan, I'm a race fan, owner, driver, pit crew, spotter.
Like Wilkesboro, huh?
But, man, I knew that was going to be a great race because we had those big cars, a lot of horsepower, and bias ply tires. It was great.
Was it about 750 horsepower, 800 horsepower?
If not more. Yeah.
If not more. Yeah.
Screaming.
All right, Wayne Anderson, what did you think of that race on bias ply tires and screaming horsepower?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was glad it was over when it was over.
They don't get no shorter, do they?
Well,
we stayed out we basically went 130 laps on our same set of tires, and right there at the end, it was definitely a handful, like y'all talked about.
Yeah, James Carter was shaking his head when you just said that 130 laps on those tires.
Yeah, it was just that we don't pit very much down here in the local late model stuff, and we had our same guys, and our pit stops were just really terrible compared to the rest of them. And my crew actually come on the radio and told me, he says, "Listen,
don't
you stand
back.
A better chance of staying out than you do coming in." So I dealt with it, and luckily track position and everything got us to a third place finish. But it was, there was no doubt it was a handful.
Yeah, but you know, if anybody's going to be able to bring 130 lap tires to third place, it's going to be Wayne Anderson, because you have done this so many times and been sideways so much.
Especially at Lakeland.
My gosh. That's awesome, man. In the big picture of things, I mean, it seemed like it was a pretty decent day. I'll ask you the same question that we've asked everybody else along the way here with the ARCA series. What did you think when the guy goes out and sets fast time, 3/10 faster than anybody else?
I thought he had soaked tires myself.
Uh-oh.
He had never posted anything like that in practice. I think, when I seen the 32 go out and run a 27, I was pretty impressed by that.
Somebody told me, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody told me one lap wonder.
Right. That was me. I thought there was no way that after he ran that lap that he could maintain that. And obviously he must have for about 125 laps, so I hear. But, I didn't think we'd go out there and run a 39 either. I thought we would be in the, low 60s, mid 50s is what I thought I'd be able to run. And then everybody kind of posted quick laps. So obviously the track got faster and as it cooled down and me having to draw. I think I was 41st out of 44 cars, so obviously that helped me propel, to run a 30-something.
Well, Wayne, you've raced in everything. I mean, you've raced, been an all-pro, NASCAR all-pro champion. You've won at Nashville. You've raced in Winston Cup on a budget that is miraculous that you even made it. How does the ARCA competition level and all of that, how does it fit in? You've raced in all of the stuff, man. Where does ARCA fit in it in your estimation?
Well, I'll tell you what, these cars aren't easy to drive, but, ARCA gets to go to the great racetracks. They get to go to Daytona. They get to go to a lot of neat racetracks. The drivers, I think Johnny Jackson will tell you, there's a there's a group of 10, 15 cars there that are real good, and you got 10 or 15 cars that are in the middle, then you got 10 or 15 guys that just kind of follow the series around. And, you know, there's a lot of good equipment out there. I think there were some Ganassi cars, Bill Davis cars. I had a Penske race car. So I think, you know, that it's in three or four tiers of cars. But the competition level, I don't know. You know, I've raced all of them. Everybody's got their good ones. And I think, you know, if you went to the All-Pro thing, you had half a dozen to a dozen drivers that were really on their game. And it's no different in Nextel Cup to ARCA. You got Kimmel and a few of them. And, you know, so I was pretty happy. I hadn't run an ARCA car in three or four years. So for us to get there, I really had no test time or anything in our car prior to that race. So to go out there and be in the top 15 on all the practices, qualify sixth, finish third, I think it was a pretty big accomplishment for us.
Man, I tell you what, the awesomeness of you being able to overcome the adversity that your crew said, you know, your crew kind of owned up and did a Days of Thunder thing on you and said, listen, man, you better stay out there because you're going to do much better with that car than we could ever help you out. Those kind of things come back to speak volumes of your ability and what you can do behind the wheel.
Well, you know, I don't want to take all the credit. Let me tell you, them guys that helped me on the crew, they work awfully hard. And, you know, it's just that we just don't have enough practice at that. And we try hard. And me, I just give 100% behind the wheel. It don't matter what I'm driving. And, you know, it was my car owner's first time as a car owner, Dodd McDowell. It's his first race as a car owner. So we were just hoping to, you know, get off the ground with our own stuff, do it our way. I didn't have no big time crew chief or anything, and it was just a good feeling to come home with a top five finish. And third was a little, was more than we probably expected. You know, if I wouldn't have got caught up, I got caught up with a couple lap cars, and I think Johnny Jackson will tell you they were. I used the comment "sprayed cockroaches," and that probably wasn't the right word to use. I don't mean it in the aspect that it sounds, but I tell you what, when them lap cars would get on the inside and they'd throw the green, go down, and when we went down into one, you had no idea what was going to happen. They were three or four lanes, and some lap cars would get tires, and the guys on the outside wouldn't, and they'd be just fast enough just to be a major problem. And I was ahead of the 40 and the 32, and I got hung up with a couple lap cars, spun, had to go back to the back again, and it was a handful at the end of that race. But, you know, we just stayed in there and we kind of never gave up all night and wound up with a top five finish. And I'm real pleased. And, you know, I think, I don't know where Johnny finished, but he finished well. And Mario, he would have ran real well if he would have finished. So I think the Florida guys had just a little bit of advantage, you know, had already run Lakeland in a late model previous. But not a lot, because the biggest problem I had with these ARCA cars is I was so used to driving so far down in the corner with a late model that I was almost running over people getting down in the corner, because that was where I thought you had to lift. And hell, they're backing off so early that I'm about to run in the back of them. So it just takes a while to get used to the heavier car and how to pick up the throttle and when to back off and everything. So you know, for me to finish third and like I say, I think I got every corner of the race car somewhere. It's got a dent, but it was mainly from the lap cars. When they'd get tires, they'd throw the green man. I'm telling you right now, they were just all over the place.
Wayne, James Carter talking. Just kind of curious. First of all, I want to congratulate you on a great run. I got a good bird's eye view of the thing. I was spotting for Jackson right next. Well, Michelle was between me and your wife, I think. And anyway, my question to you was, did you have a particular good time racing with anybody in particular out there? Was there somebody that you had a lot of fun with? It looked like you were having fun with it most of the day, but anybody in particular you had a good time racing?
You know, I was never around nobody at one particular time for a very long period of time, if that made any sense, just the way the cautions fell. I really can't sit here and answer that one to you. You know, it felt good to, I'm not sure if Johnny did, but, I mean, it felt good for us to pass Kimmel. Here's your eight-time champion, and the guy kind of has his act together. And I was kind of battling with the 29 and the 46 quite a bit. And, you know, the 29 got under the 46. I don't know if many people seen that. And about time he had him pass, getting in three, he lost it. And, man, I went down in there. I'm trying to follow the 29 through. He loses it. So I back off the gas. And next thing you know, I dart to the right. He overcorrects. Boom, he's into me. Left front fender's caved in. And I lost a lot of ground. But the point I'm trying to get back to is, you know, here's Kimmel, your guy that wins all the races mainly, and he's a veteran of the sport there. And to be able to battle with him a little bit and pass him, It was. I'd have to think when you're doing that, it's a good night, whether it was a bad night for him or whatever.
Now we got a question from the crowd.
Wayne, we had a pitcher of beer and a bunch of dancing girls here for you.
Well, I tell you what, my son and I missed that. Jack didn't say that. We'd had to went for that.
We had a little girl for him.
Can you recognize one of your number one fans?
I don't know.
Oh.
Carol Wicks.
Carol Wicks, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, buddy, thanks a bunch, man. We're sorry we're running short on this show, but we do appreciate you coming by and talking to us again because it was just awesome, they said, to watch this one. I wish I'd been there.
Hey, I tell you what, it was it's great being on the show, and I just want to thank all the Florida guys. They did really well in the ARCA thing, and I hope they come back year after year.
All right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And speaking of that, I was there on Friday for the driver's meeting, and remember, the first thing they talked about was telling the drivers about, how professional they wanted to be and how they wanted to handle things because they wanted to come back.
That's
every,
right. I thought it was a really professional
year.
Show. So, I mean, it really went off good. The race itself, nobody got really crazy at the beginning. And there was really no people overdriving their cars, I mean, there was a couple of instances I saw.
The ARCA guys definitely want to come back. They love the facility. They were really pleased with what they saw.
Yeah.
And you got to know they were loving the fan turnout. That's a lot.
Oh, no doubt.
Tell you what, it was one of the, I've videotaped with my camera takes those little video clips we throw up on Karnak. And, I've videotaped a lot of pit stops. I have never been in such an intense situation. I was there for the last two pit stops, Mario Gosselin, and I was scared to death because, you could just feel this intensity about it that didn't exist. I mean, the Hooters broke up and has never done that.
Right.
I've never experienced that. And I was one point in Mario's, the last pit stop, I was videotaping the thing, and I knew I had to watch myself. I was going to get smashed here like a bug. And all of a sudden, a piece of sheet metal comes flying off the car. Somebody just yanked it and threw it.
You know what else is awesome about that race is when they took all the haulers out of the
absolutely.
Hey, guys, we got to switch gears. We're going all the way to Five Flags Speedway. Tim Bryant talking to us about taking over and now being in charge.
Tim, going from the parts man to the owner.
Well, it's just another day here in Five Flags. I mean, this place has got a lot of history, and regardless of who's at the helm, I think there's a bright future ahead here at Five Flags Speedway. It's a big honor for our family to take over. First, 3 years ago. Almost four now, we took over management, and as of last Thursday night, we became the official owner. So our commitment has definitely become long term, but we're looking forward to the challenges, and we just want to keep making racing better for both the fans and the drivers.
Man, I tell you what, right or wrong, you've got the entire world looking at you several times a year, especially that Snowball Derby thing. You got to make sure you got your stuff in order and you're ready to go. I take it that you kind of did your homework and you're prepared to do what it takes to make this thing happen year round.
Well, we hope so. And let me, if I could, make a quick call out to the Strong Florida showing at the ARCA race at Lakeland. How exciting is that? Of course, Wayne Anderson, a former Snowball Derby winner, coming home third place. I think that was an outstanding run. And Mario run well down there, as he does in all the ARCA events that he's in. And he's won many times here at Five Flags. And, of course, James Boucher won that race, and he raced here last year in ASA Late Model Series. So, a part of us was down there with them guys, and we'd like to congratulate them on good runs.
Yeah, we've talked to all those guys here tonight, and I'll tell you, it was only a couple of years ago, it seemed like yesterday, it was just a few years ago that Five Flags was being buried. I mean, and then the hurricane came along, and it was Five Flags was going away. That's all you could hear people talking about. And it's completely turned around. It's got to be exciting up there.
Well, we do. We've got a lot of excitement building. And, it's just been a conglomeration of efforts from, as I mentioned, we got a great group of race fans in our area. And we certainly wouldn't have taken on an adventure like this without a backbone, of race fans like we have and dedicated racers that, as long as you give them a venue to come out and run their cars, then they'll be here. But everybody contributes. We're trying to gather up some sponsorship. I mean, we've run the Snowball Derby, what we feel like is one of the most premier short track races in the nation, without a sponsor the last 3 years. Because quite frankly, we just
and it seems to snowball after that.
Tim, we've talked several times. You started out as a fan there at the track. To become only the third owner, part owner of this racetrack, it's got to be a thrill.
Well, with that, we feel a tremendous amount of responsibility. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the track's rich in history. It dates back to 1953, and it really turned the corner in 1968 when Tom Dawson purchased the track and started running full-body cars for the first time. Everybody said he was crazy because the wing super modifieds was the thing of the day. He started a race called the Snowball Derby in December of 1968, and then things just kind of progressed from there. And certainly, like most racetracks around this country, certainly most short tracks, it's had its ups and downs. And I mean, there's been years when the gates didn't open, and there's been some lean times, but we've seen some very healthy times here. And that's our goal. We want to we're pretty healthy now. We want to maintain that. We want to improve that, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Well, last year it was just the premiere of late model racing all over the country. 30,000 people, they were lined up, from what I heard, for miles with motorhomes just waiting to get in the place.
Well, it certainly has turned into to somewhat of a festival. And by the way, let me mention our first official paid entry for the 2007 40th anniversary Snowball Derby, none other than Wayne Anderson.
There you go.
And I say that Wayne sent an entry in last year and didn't get his car together, and ended up coming up in crew chief and I think for Shane Teague and doing a great job with him. But Wayne said, actually Lori, I think, caught me in the pits one day. She said, "Hey, take our entry fee and apply it towards next year." So that makes Wayne the first official entry for OSAP.
Well, now they start rolling in pretty early. Some people have told me that motorhome space, even the hotels, people book them as they leave from the past year.
Yeah, they do. And, of course, our area here is just about back full strength and possibly then some after, a couple of bad hurricane years. Last year we had Mother Nature was very good to us, and so our area is back strong. I mean, tourism is strong in our area, and the Pensacola area has recognized, especially more in the last couple of years, the value of the Snowball Derby and what it means economically to this town. So, we're getting a lot of support from things like that. A lot of motels step up, and they're offering discounts to race fans. And the town has really turned into a great host city for an event like that. But you're right. I mean, our phones are already ringing. I mean, the drivers, of course, are wanting to enter. And to be honest with you, within the next 3 or 4 days, we're going to be sending out ticket order forms and driver entry blanks and all that stuff. So really the 1st of April is when it really kicks off for us, and just about runs steady right up until race time, the first weekend of December.
So, Tim, tell us about your regular during the rest of the season. What is the you race on Fridays? What's the routine, the regular racing during the year like? What kind of classes do you run and that sort of thing?
Well, I can tell you this much. This Friday night we're having an irregular program, our once and only visit from the United Sprint Car Series, and we're looking forward to having some guys down your way up here racing with us. Of course, Danny Martin Jr. won year before last. Kenny Adams won last year, and he'll be the guy to beat probably on Friday night. We're expecting, we've been told that we may get a visit from Wayne Rudiman Jr. We're looking for a heck of a night Friday night with the winged outlaw sprint cars. We're also going to be running an open wheel modified event. That was a very popular race at the Snowball last year. It had a tremendous turnout. So we're running those Friday night along with motorcycles for the first time in several years. 2 weeks after that, guys, we're going to kick off the 2007 Blizzard Series. We just couldn't be happier with the support we've gotten from racers on that. Of course, we do carry a points fund with that 5-race series. However, the real carrot that everybody is after is a provisional starting spot for the Snowball Derby, because if you can come into the Snowball weekend and not have to worry about those two qualifying laps on Friday night, it takes a tremendous amount of pressure off.
Tim,
two provisionals up for grabs with the Blizzard Series. We've run that 5-race series. Every other Friday, our program really consists of low late model, super stock, sports, and bombers.
Hey, Tim, I got some bad news for you, man. Hey, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, I got some bad news for you, man. You're going to have to put up with Bill Green this weekend because he travels as the announcer for the USCS. So I'm sorry, man, but he'll be there for both days.
I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in there Friday afternoon and working the Five Flags show, and then move right over Saturday night in Mobile.
We're actually looking forward to seeing Bill, and I don't think it's going to be a bad experience. I talked with Pete Walsh from USCS today. We kind of went over the program and got our schedule together, and we're looking forward to having Bill in the booth calling those races Friday night.
It'll be a lot of fun. I look forward to it because those guys, I know a lot of them, looking forward to seeing Kenny Adams maybe catch his 100th USCS win right there at Five Flag Speedway.
And by the way, there's a bonus up. There is a doubleheader this weekend. We're racing here on Friday night. Moving on, as you said, to Mobile International Speedway, 80 miles to the west on Saturday night. And then the following Saturday night, they switch to dirt, come right back into our area to Milton, Florida, to Southern Raceway, known as the South's Finest Dirt Track. And if one guy can win all of those, and I bet you Kenny Adams knows this, one guy wins all three of those races, it's $10,000.
$10,000
bonus.
Well,
if there's anybody that can, Kenny can.
Yeah, Kenny
no
can.
Doubt.
Malabar Missile. That'd be awesome. I look forward to getting there. Hopefully the weather will hold up for us. It looks like it's going to be fine and clear, and it's been pretty nice up there lately. What are some of the other big shows besides the Snowball Derby that roll around each year?
Well, we've got, as I mentioned, our five race Blizzard Series. Our pro late model division that we kicked off 2 years ago, it's predominantly Crate Motors, but not exclusively. We opened the season with those last Friday night and had 18 of those things, which is a pretty darn good field for a Southern short track. And so we're just really excited about that. Our Super Stock division has been so competitive this year. Chris Cotto won the Snowball Derby in that division last year and decided to go after a track championship this year. He's run two races and hadn't picked up his first win yet, so I know he's on a mission. Our Sportsman division, we had 22 cars start to feature in that the other night. We couldn't be happier. And, of course, the Bomber division is where it all starts with a basically a pure stock car. One other thing we got brewing coming the last weekend of September 28th and 29th, I believe it is, we're going to be hosting the ASA Late Model Series Challenge Division National Championship Race. So we're looking for a big weekend then as well.
Wow, man. Tim, buddy, you can slam more into 17 minutes than I've ever seen when it comes to promoters. You got that end of the stick taken care of.
You got it covered, man.
Hey, listen, buddy, it's only about 70. It's only about 72 hours. I'll be on your front door looking for a good place to eat or something. So you take care of yourself. We'll appreciate you talking to us.
Good. Okay, Bill. Thank you, guys. Look forward to seeing you this Friday.
Yeah, good luck throughout the year, man.
Appreciate that.
Tim Bryant, ladies and gentlemen, just took
good
over. He is
Bill.
Now the master of Five Flag.
Back here live at the Snook River Grill with Johnny Jackson and James Carter. So, James, what up? Closing words here?
Yeah. What's the future hold, man, for a team that's doing so well but still got to work hard at it?
Oh, it's a bright future. There's no doubt about it. We've got the people in place. We've got the equipment now. And it's just kind of on my shoulders to go round up the money to help make it all happen, grease the wheels, you know. That's what makes it work.
No pressure.
Now, we talked about you being the sponsor, but we haven't talked about your business.
Oh, yeah, James Carter, attorney at law. That's my business. I'm an attorney practicing in the Sarasota, Bradenton.
What do you specialize in?
I specialize in anything that's civil law. I represent injured people. I do divorce cases. I take care of businessmen and women who have various needs. Years ago, I actually used to do some criminal law, believe it or not. But I married a cop, so that took care of that.
Just make her pay you on the backside.
So how did you get involved in this whole deal? Have you been involved in racing a long time?
Started out as a race car driver. Always liked the sport. Followed it since I was probably about 5 years old. I'm not going to tell you how old I am if you're going to ask, but yeah. It's been a long time, and I've just kind of worked my way up from there.
Yeah. Now, there was this little thing floating around that maybe you were going to get in one of those ARCA cars?
Yeah, definitely. That's my long-range goal. I want to go have fun like Jackson and Mario and Wayne and all those guys, and
I'll loan you my seat.
I got one. It's it's good, but I'll take the extras because you never know. I might bend it up, but I plan on running a few races maybe at DeSoto this year in a late model.
Cool.
And, so we'll hope to see you guys out
good
there.
Good to see you back
cool.
there.
Very
we'll get
cool.
you back on here when you win one. Come right back in today.
10-4.
All right.
You got to win one to come on.
A little incentive, okay, Johnny? I'm trying to get some incentive out there.
He's like a good spotter, Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny, what's your plans for this year, man?
Oh, we're just going to do whatever we can. If we can make a few more ARCA races, it's a funding problem. So if we get some money, we'll be making a lot of them. But we're working on some things. James is doing a good job. I'd like to thank everybody that helps me with my team. And Mario and all the helpers over there that just do every weekend, not just when their showtime comes along.
Now, do you some of the races that are closer to us, so to speak, let's say the South Georgia Motorsports Park, another USA International race, those are the kind of races you kind of look forward to getting a chance to go do, or do you just want to run the local track and be out every Saturday night?
No, I don't mind the local track once in a while. We kind of been focusing on the ARCA car because that's kind of more fun. For me, because we get on a big track and you can race and running 170, 180 miles an hour, that's a blast.
That's
we went
good.
To Talladega. We tested last year. We tested a little bit at Daytona. Kind of hoping to go back to Pocono because that was a good experience. We might even try and go to Michigan, too, because that's within a week apart. So if we can make it out of Pocono unscathed, we might go to Michigan. But that's a funding issue is the whole thing, you know.
So the car you ran at Lakeland, that's the same car you're going to run at Pocono and Michigan and all that?
Yeah, it's going to be the same car there. We've got a different car for Daytona. It's the Speedway car. It's got more travel. That's Talladega and Daytona only. The short track cars, they don't have quite so much travel. A little different body, not so much aero.
He heard Wayne went 130 laps on tires. He didn't even go buy tires next time.
Well, he got pretty close to that. I noticed on Mario's car, he's got roof flaps on it.
Yeah, we all have roof flaps.
Yeah.
Yep. The safety issue. Yeah. You know, the
you have
tracks.
To put those into use. I do not want to know what happened, okay?
Ms. Wicks has joined us again here. Do you have anything for Johnny? I know you got a question for him. I know you do.
I don't have a question for him, but I was sitting in the stands when you were qualifying, and they said John Jackson. I'm like, I wonder if that's our Johnny Action. It was. I'm so glad to see you there.
Yeah, he's trying to change the name. So
I'm trying to improve the image a little bit.
No, that's
a nice clean fire suit. Yeah.
Next time it'll be Jonathan Jackson III.
I don't think we're going to get that far, but we might just not need to have the security
come
with
out,
us.
Come out in a tuxedo, rip it off, your suit's underneath.
You're talking about Super Mario before. Man, I saw him coming around turn two, three wide.
You got to hold this thing
down there like
with
a
you.
Bullet.
He was fast.
I'm telling you.
He was fast.
But anyway, I just like to say thank you to everybody and keep short track racing going.
Cool. You're part of the program.
Hey, so you made it. You made it.
There you go.
Cool.
Thank you.
And the kids were good.
Breathing.
And you breathed.
A big hand for the kids for being so good. Awesome job. We appreciate it. We're glad they came with you. Hey, listen, we've talked.
How many kids you got, Johnny?
I got two kids, two girls, Jessica and Faith.
Johnny's kid, Johnny's oldest daughter and little Bobby used to sit next to each other every Saturday night at Charlotte County when there were babies. Now cool. Look at them.
We've spent a lot of time tonight talking about the ARCA series. We've talked to James Boucher. We've talked to Brian Clausen. We got
Boucher.
Boot, because it's like Sue. I keep forgetting Boucher. Boucher. And we talked to Johnny Jackson sitting in here with us. James Carter is spotter and, I guess, the money man, kind of like the sponsor. Carol Wicks, thank you for dropping by. Mario Glosland stopped in with us on the phone. Wayne Anderson. Tim Bryant, Five Flags. My gosh, boy, that guy's got the promotion.
Next week is Georgia Stock Car Racing.
And we better tell you, folks, you need to go right now to your computer and go GeorgiaStockCarRacing.com. You better see what's happening because CarNac's making it happen. We want to thank Bill Hunt for coming by and talking to us. And look for the photos, and it just ripped right out of my head, guys.
Green Mamba.
No.
Green Mamba.
What's the name of the photos?
It's
speedimages.com.
And there's also savethemamba.org.
Put the pressure on
there's
me, I fold.
Stuff,
anyway, it's just it's
just
awesome.
Just Google it.
There you go. And next week, don't be surprised if we get some people in here talking about Georgia racing, and they actually are from Georgia.
You know what? I think the quote of the night tonight was when we asked Wayne Anderson about that qualifying run by Bobby Santos, and he said the first thing that came into his mind with soaked tires.
Well, right. They're going back.
Get us out of here.
From the Snook River Grill.
Say goodnight, Bill.
Tonight, 7 to 9 p.m.
Bye.
Good night now. When the bright light
one more time. Now you can spend all your time making money. You can spend all your love making time. If it all fell to pieces tomorrow, would you still be mine? When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you